This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I'm going to need Dennis Cox to take over for the rest of the time while I try to find a live stream of Blake McShay. I need a camera just on Blake McShay. Qualifier on Monday for the Wyndham, playing out of the Zebulon Country Club. That's my course. Although Garner's kind of been my course. It's funny, the Zebulon Country Club. So I've played there for years because I do PA for the Carolina Mudcats, and it's out there on 264. Or whatever they're trying to call it now.
Yeah.
And we have still 264.
We still have the 880. We have the 885. Dude,
and the other
Durham.
Thing about changing the names, yes. The other thing about
exit
changing the names
change.
Of freeways and highways, exit numbers change, and we seem to be doing a lot of them at once.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I can handle one highway name change every 10 years.
Yeah.
But they're trying to take the Durham Freeway from 147 into what are they
it's
trying to call it?
It's 885 now.
No, it is not.
Well, part of it's 885, but then it goes into 147. And it redid all the exit numbers. So to get off where the Durham Bulls play, it was exit like 12.
Yeah.
It's like 12
or 13.
12
yeah,
C. It was in the 12s. Now it's exit 3s. 3 A, B, and C now.
No, I don't need that. And then 264 is what now? Somebody want to help me with this
I can't
one?
Remember what
I like purposely not learning them. It might be 87.
It's like 87.
Yeah, dude, get out of here with all that. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Oh, because when you go out 264, the same exit for the Zebulon Country Club is the, well, not quite the exit for the Mudcats, but very close to each other, right?
Yeah.
It's a perfect little trip. I could go out there, play as many holes as I could at the Zebulon Country Club before I got to hop over and do the Carolina Mudcats.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and the Zebulon Country Club is the type of place. Obviously, the price is a little bit lower, so good value. For a while, they were probably cash only. I'm not sure how long they've taken credit cards. My Garner Country Club, still cash only, baby.
What are we getting? Is it breakfast only?
They got an ATM for you. But so you'd go out there and just assume you could show up whenever you wanted and play. And if it was crowded the first team, like, can I go off number 10? And if you started and you played number 1 and 2 and then it looked a little crowded, you might skip 3 and 4 and 5 and go play 6 and 7. Like, you know, you could just machete style the course. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, not too long ago, I guess there's more people apparently moving to Eastern Wake County. And
apparently
golf has been under a surge in the pandemic. It was like one of the few things that never shut down, right? So a lot of people playing golf. Start going out to Zebulon Country Club. I'd show up. They'd be like, hey, you guys got a tee time? And they're like, well, no. No, we don't have a team. It's a Zebulon Country Club. And they're like, oh, sorry, man. We're full. Like, what? Then there was another time they were again, the court, they keep the Zebulon Country Club in, like, relatively good shape, especially for as cheap as it is. But every now and then they'd be out there. There'd be some guy dragging the green, like putting sand on it and drag, like the things that they do at professional courses. And we're sitting there waiting for this guy to drag the green. Like, what the heck is going on? This is not the Zebulon Country Club we know, where you can just show up. There may be a sign that says don't bring your own beers, but nobody's really checking. And there's no reason to bring your own beers to Zebulon Country Club because they're cheaper at the golf course than they are at the store. And amazingly, it's one of those courses where if you get 2 beers, it's like, oh, that'll be $8. And you're like, okay. Like, but if you go ahead and move it up to 6 beers, it'll be $6. And you're like, what? Wait, what?
What? Wait, what?
Well, I guess I better get 6. Like, all right, that'd be $6, you know? Like, I guess. I guess I should just drink 6 then.
I get 3 times the amount of beers for less dollars.
Yes, for 3/4 of the price. Yes, that's how it works at the Zebulon Country Club. So, but I bet if I go there now, they're probably charging like $3 or $4 a beer, and the prices go up with more beers you get, unbelievably. So all of this, which is to say, the Zebulon Country Club is a phenomenal, great place, and I love it. But it's getting a little bougie. It's putting on the airs of an actual golf course. Making me make tee times, sanding the greens, aerating, all these things that like happen at professional courses. I'm like, I don't need all that. I don't need grass in my tee boxes. I'm putting it on a tee anyway. Don't waste your time with that maintenance, right? Just, anyway, but to see my man, gotta remind his name, Blake McShay, Blake McShay, mm-hmm. surging into the top 10 at the Wyndham, 5 under on today, 6 under overall. That's who we're keeping track of at the Wyndham Championship now. He's the best name on the leaderboard. Oh, every time there's an update, I'm like, what?
I'm still trying to think. 6 beers, $6.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Blake McShay still 6 under through 14. Let's see if we can get to 8 under, Blake.
All right. Do I need to take this over so you can
make it happen?
You
no, can find the stream? I'll find a stream of him. All right. It is time. We, against our better judgment, turn things over to you and let the listeners choose what the segment is going to be. What are we doing today?
All right. So the poll out there was an option between the Wyndham Championship, which clearly you've spent half the segment about already.
Sorry, fans.
That was the least voted on one, of course.
Sorry, fans.
And then below that, or just above that, I should say, the Premier League. Coming in second place was ACC football because practice is getting started this week. But number one, NC Beach Week.
Woo! You know what we should have put on there and we didn't is the Ocho, ESPN The Ocho.
Yeah,
which apparently is going down today, even though it's not August 8th.
Well, the pro breakdancing is going on.
That's
right
why
now.
I brought that up, because now they're breakdancing. I will say, as much as I don't think I would ever watch breakdancing as a competitive sport, it is kind of cool to watch how they stare at each other as they do it.
It's I know.
It'd be like if Simone Biles was on the balance beam and her opponent was like just sitting there chilling at the end of the balance beam, balancing, but watching her and be like, oh, you're going to do a flip? Let's see you do a flip.
Yeah.
And then watch this flip. Like if it was a.
Like you'd land that flip. Like, let's see you land that flip.
It'd be a balance beam standoff. That's kind of what it looks like here.
I'm for it.
Yesterday we talked about some beach etiquette. Basically, the number one rule, do not set up directly in front of someone else. You don't own the beach in front of you. People can swim in front of you. People can run in front of you. Kids can play in front of you. People can walk. People can even sit in a chair or sunbathe in front of you. But just as far as an entire setup, you cannot place one in front of the other. But today I wanted to share an observation I had when I was leaving my North Carolina beach week with my wife's family last week. Shout out to my wife's family. They do a great job. I'm well-fed, relaxed, get to hang out with a great family. Wonderful kids my brother-in-law has. They're very cool. Great family. Just a good mix of people. My other brother-in-law is a big gamer. I don't get to play that many games that anymore. I don't have a system, but he always has like the latest thing. We play FIFA and it's awesome, right?
Nice.
So, get to kick it with them. Great time. A lot of fun. But one of my favorite observations, if I ever write a book about the sociological experience that is the North Carolina Beach Week, there will be a chapter devoted to the first 30 minutes of your arrival at the beach. Because I mentioned this, like, we were Sunday to Sunday, but some people are Saturday to Saturday. So on our Saturday, which is like our last day there, you're watching people arrive for the first time. And you're in like sad mode. You're trying not to shut the party down because you don't leave till the next day. But like the inflatables in the pool, you're like deflating them. And like you might be cleaning a little bit or packing or doing some laundry. Meanwhile, the people that are arriving are like, woo! I mean, all the energy, all the emotion.
Yeah.
And it's cool to observe, like, the different styles of people. Like, for example, you've got the Boy Scout family. Mm-hmm. Like, they roll up. Whatever time the beach house became available, 3 o'clock, they're there at 2:55 with the key. They're, like, ready to go. The whole family takes part in unpacking the car. It's like assembly line. Everything comes out in totes. It's, like, neatly packed, you know. They look a little bit like the Derek's family from Step Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, like they were probably singing in harmony in the car there, you know? And you're like, these people are going to be on the beach at 8 a.m., pristine setup. The two little kids are probably going to have matching bathing suits, you know what I mean? On Thursday, there will be a family picture at a certain time, and everyone's outfit will be worn.
White shirt, khakis.
100%. Yep. And that, you know, that outfit's not getting touched until then. There's an itinerary. Mm-hmm. Like, somewhere dad has, like, a file of, like, what's happening every day.
I bet they have an ironing board.
There's an iron
for
somewhere.
Those outfits.
Or they've made sure that the rental house comes with one. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. So, I'm not knocking them. You just see them coming in, and you're like, ah. And they're super pumped. The kids are like trying to run to the beach, and dad's like, not until we unpack this car, young man.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you know. Then sometimes you get this certainly. This we had this the other day. About 3 houses down from us, we're on the sound side, so you could be out on the pier and get a view of like a few houses, not just the ones next to you. You know, you can see back on the sound. Some folks roll up, they don't unpack anything, but they are hyped. You hear their car going. They are hyped. The only thing that comes out of the car
Lizzo.
Is a cooler and a speaker. And again, they are three houses down, but it is loud. And then, swear, promise you I'm not lying on this. Not 7 minutes in to being at the house, and my man is teeing up golf balls and driving them into the sound.
Yes.
Like, woo! This is vacation. We are unhinged. Let's go. Drinks were mixed. It was like the blender, the cooler, and the speaker came out, and then not even the golf clubs, just a driver and a couple balls.
That's all
and
you like, need.
Not no target. Just we're just hitting balls out into the ocean to explain our excitement for
the
being
target's
on
the water.
The whole
and you
week
landed
in
it.
Front of us.
Yeah.
And here we are just slamming golf balls. So one of my it is a great moment of human it's like being at the airport kind of, you know, just some people are coming back from their trips and they're depressed. Some people are departing and you're seeing it all play out in front of you. Watching Beach Week arrival, one of my favorite things of Beach Week.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
One of the funkiest guys I know is a columnist for the News and Observer. He writes about all things sports, specifically when they intersect with the state of North Carolina. We'll talk to him about, anything that might come up North Carolina related, even get his beach takes because I just gave some of mine. And as he knows, every good North Carolinian likes to spend some time down at the beach. It is our good friend Luke DeCock from the News and Observer. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Hayes? As you and I texted last week, I think every North Carolina public school student should be taught critical beach theory at a young age.
100%. We should know these things.
These rules matter. They matter, Hayes.
I feel like most people are taught these things. I don't know if it's in the curriculum specifically, but somehow most people seem to know these things. They learn from somewhere. Do you have any beach observations that could make life more pleasant for us if we observed it? Or just general old man takes about the beach?
Yeah, more yelling at clouds, I think.
I like it.
And I are on the same page, I think, with most of your basic observing people's space and frontage and whatnot. I think probably if I were going to come up with some, it would be, you know, old man stuff. I think the number one thing would be like, look, if you're out there with you're out there surf fishing in the morning before anyone gets out there, that's fine. People should operate around you. But it does bug me when people roll up with a cart full of fishing rods and set up in front of everybody and start throwing lures in the water where like kids are swimming and whatnot. Like that's a first come first serve situation. But so I get like, I'm not a fisherman, so maybe I'm not qualified to speak on this. And I think most people observe that, but I do feel like there are some people who feel like the right to fish subsumes the right to play in the surf sometimes. That does bug me. And then look, I get people are gonna smoke on the beach, that's fine. You're outside, we all got plenty of space. But pick up your butts. I mean, there's nothing worse than trying to plop your chair down and find a pile of someone's, you know, half-smoked camels lying in the sand. I assume those are the same people who don't pick up after their dogs, so we're wasting our time with them anyway.
Yes.
But those, I mean, I think, though, I don't know if those are old man takes or whatever, but I'd say those are things I believe very strongly.
Cigarette butts do always seem to fit in the smokers. I shouldn't put everybody in the same category, but like, yes, it is trash. That is a piece of trash. Even if it's a very small one, still a piece of trash. Wait till it's not burning anymore and then find a trash can for it. All right, we're going to just do hodgepodge North Carolina sports questions for you on things that you may or may not have written about. But I saw yesterday some news that I think you responded to. One of the last pieces out there for the Carolina Hurricanes is Marty Natchez and what's going to happen with him and the word was possibly a bridge deal. Is that what you expect to happen with Marty Natchez, and is that what the Hurricanes should be doing?
Yeah, on both counts. Yeah, no, I think after Max Lajoie's arbitration hearing, that opens a buyout window for Jake Gardner. I don't believe there are any sort of long-term injured reserve issues with that. Buying out Gardner frees up about $3 million in salary cap space this year, and that's money they can turn around and sign Natchez. I would expect somewhere in the 2.75 range. It could be anywhere from 2.5 to 3 and change, but it's not going to be a extravagant deal, quite frankly, because he didn't play well enough.
Yep.
He gambled on himself this year in a contract year rather than signing a long-term deal last summer, which the Hurricanes would have done. And he lost. So when you lose, there are consequences. And so now he's going into what's almost certain to be a two-year bridge deal that, again, will be a gamble on himself. And if he doesn't play better over the next 2 years, then it's all moot because he won't be here anyway. But we get on Marty Natchez in part because he has so much talent.
Yep.
And you can see it. And he's so fast and he's so good with the puck. But his comments after the season about wanting to play center, and he was kind of critical of Rod Brind'Amour when Rod Brind'Amour gave him chances on special teams deep into the playoffs to the end, long after any other coach would have abandoned Natchez, who was just so ineffective in the playoffs. So there's the light's got to come on with him to a certain degree. He's going to get the chance to play center in preseason. He'll probably play more preseason games than anyone else, and he'll get the chance to start down the middle and prove himself. And he's got to do a better job proving himself than he did this season, or he's going to end up on the right wing, and probably on the right wing of a reasonably skilled fourth line with Jack Drury and somebody. But it won't be the playing time that he wants. It's certainly not going to help him get a bigger contract. So this was a big season for Marty Natchez. Next season and the season after that, even bigger in their own way. The kid's got talent, and I think he works hard. Like, there's no questions about his work ethic or any of that. It hasn't clicked. He's been given every opportunity. He's going to get an opportunity to go back to center this year, even though he sort of has been mired on the wing through his own ineffectiveness, and we'll see what happens. I mean, the Hurricanes, he's a top 15 draft pick. The Hurricanes need him to be an impact player. So there's a win-win here for everybody if he can pull it off.
And bottom line on the Hurricane, if let's say they do that deal, bridge deal, is their roster as currently constructed an improvement on what their roster was to end the season last year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in part because in two key areas where they were weak, they've gotten stronger. I mean, everyone looks at Tony DeAngelo's point totals, but you saw the power play fizzle down the stretch and in the playoffs. DeAngelo put up big numbers playing with Jacob Slavin. A lot of guys are going to put up big numbers because they have the freedom to gamble because Slavin's so good defensively and covers for them. Brent Burns is people say, well, Brent Burns, Tony DeAngelo, look at their points and blah, blah. You're getting a completely different class of player. Even at his age, he's in great shape. He stayed healthy. Brent Burns is a completely different class of player than Tony DeAngelo. And look, Tony DeAngelo for $1 million, great. It worked. He kept his nose clean. Everything went fine. There were no major disasters. Fizzled a little bit at the end, but whatever. But if you can spend that $5 million on Brent Burns with the Sharks paying a big chunk of his salary, you got better. And Brent Burns playing with Jacob Slavin is going to look like something else because it's been a long time since he's had a partner that good, that competent, who can bail him out and back him up. I mean, Brent Burns has the potential to have as good a year as any 37-year-old defenseman's going to have. And then, Max Pacioretty, what did we talk about for 2 months during the playoffs? The Hurricanes needed someone who could finish all these chances they generate. They do a great job of generating chances. They need finishers. And obviously, internally, you'd like to see Marty Natchez to bring him up against score. But Svechnikov didn't score, and Aho didn't score, and Teravainen didn't score at the levels they needed to for the Hurricanes to advance. Pacioretty is a finisher. Now, the question is, can he stay healthy because he's had injury issues? But he's, again, a completely different class of player than Nino Niederreiter, who was a nice guy who also failed to score in the postseason. Pacioretty, when healthy, is elite in goal scoring, and he is going to find the puck on his stick in dangerous places a lot because that's the way the Hurricanes play. So he has the potential to have a huge year, and you get him literally for nothing. For nothing.
Yeah.
And they have the cap space to fit him in. Now, the question, you lose Vincent Trocheck. You are weaker down the middle, but you invested a lot of money and a lot of assets and you spared Kotkaniemi. This is KK's time to shine. And you've got Jack Drury coming up. He's going to be an upgrade on Stephen Lawrence. So if you're the Hurricanes, you're hoping that the combination of Kotkaniemi and Drury is better than the combination of Trocheck and Lawrence. I think that's an open question. But I see the logic there. And they were kind of pot committed to that based on the Kotkaniemi offer sheet and deal. And now it's time, like Marty Nate, just for him to live up to it. I mean, he was the number three pick in the draft for a reason. There were scouts at the time who liked him better than Svechnikov because he could play center. And so he's a more useful player in some ways. Obviously, that's not the way it's panned out. And the Hurricanes clearly made the right decision. But now they've got both those guys, and it's time for Kotkaniemi to step up. So, yes, to answer your initial question, definitely better. Still some questions. I think they still need a depth left defenseman, but those guys are a dime a dozen. But they're in a position now to knock over the last couple dominoes, be in decent salary cap space, have about 1.8, which could turn into about $4 million at the deadline if they need to add another part.
All right, I heard you say the Canes are better. That's what I want to hear. Shifting gears, ACC football. All right, I think I've got this right. Last year, let's leave Duke out of it for a second. They're transitioning coaches, but the other three ACC schools in the state, Wake, NC State, and UNC, have expectations anywhere from like really high to at least a bowl game. Last year, they combined for, I think I have this right, 26 wins between the three teams. Maybe it depends on how NC State counts their bowl experience. That might I don't know what we do with that, but that's close to averaging 9 wins per school. Well, we have over or under combined wins 26.5. Let's say 26.5 for State, UNC, and Wake this coming season.
I'm going to go over in part because I'm on the record. I put this in print. This is not just me talking on radio shows. I think there's a very good chance State and Carolina play in back-to-back weeks.
I was going to get specific on this, but yes, all right.
Yes, all right. Well, we'll circle back to that. But yeah, so I think, you know, and I picked Wake to finish fourth and immediately regretted it the moment that the ballots came out. But it does put me in the position of feeling very good about Wake overperforming my expectations for them. Yet again, I think state season will be a disappointment if they don't win 10 games in the regular season. I think Carolina's got a really good chance to win 8 or 9. I think Wake's got a really good chance to win 8 or 9. So I think that number that you're on is right about the spot. And when you throw in bowl games and a potential ACC championship win for somebody, I think you get to the over. So that's an ambitious number. But I think you do get to the over. Now, you know, I don't know that Duke's going to contribute a lot if you wanted to throw them in there. That's going to be a difficult season. But I think those the three of the big four can get to that number, I think. I think that's a realistic thing to expect.
And did you say you had Wake fourth in the Atlantic?
Yeah, I had them after Florida State, kind of on the thinking that Florida State was going to get it together this year. And then, I immediately had a what were you thinking moment the moment the ballots came out. Why would I ever pick Wake fourth? So now, in my defense, you know, Wake returns, I think, according to Phil Steele, which I'm going to take as the official number, Dave Clawson disputed this with me in Charlotte. Phil Steele has 16 starters returning. That's a lot for any other team. That's not a lot by Wake standards. Wake traditionally benefits from recruiting and growing. I mean, developing players. They figured it out. I mean, Dave Clawson has figured it out the same way Jim Grobe did once, that, you know, you can find ACC players who other people don't think are ACC players and turn them into ACC players. And they've got a quarterback coming back. They've got receivers coming back. There's a lot of strengths on Wake's roster, but it's not the same sort of returning experience group as we're accustomed to with Wake. So if they do take a step back, that'll be why, and maybe that opens up the door for Florida State to sneak into third. But I don't think there's as good as Wake has been, as competitive as they've been at the top of the Atlantic Division. It just feels to me like this is going to come down to State and Clemson, and Wake is just going to have a hard time getting into that group this year, in part because State's, I think, is going to be really good, and Clemson, I think, is going to bounce back. And that just makes it tough for Wake and Florida State to a certain extent. I don't know why. Why would I? It's like the people who pick Miami to win the Coastal every year. Like 5% of the time, it works every time.
Wake is just it's so hard to go in and picking them number one because, like you said, you know their system is we'd rather have this 3-star dude as a 22-year-old going against your 18-year-old 4 or 5-star dude. But it just still – I always give them credit for when they do it. When they get it done, when they win 10 games, when they go to an ACC title game, whatever it is, like they keep proving people wrong. But it still is hard to sit down there and say, you know what? Yeah, I think Wake's going to be better than Clemson, Florida State, and NC State this season. It's hard to do.
I think it's harder this year than it should have been for some people in other years because I really do feel like State does have that a very sort of Team of Destiny aura around it. But I think if you go back to last year, that was an error not that more people didn't take Wake seriously. Maybe I'm going to be saying this, Hayes, we'll talk next August 5th and have the same conversation. I just feel like this is a year where it's not so much that Wake has fallen back at all. It's that Clemson will be back up and State, I think, is up. And that just makes it hard. They'll finish ahead of Florida State. I'll hedge that bet right now.
All right. The PGA is in North Carolina. They're at the Wyndham. But the more important question for you, have you ever played the Zebulon Country Club, Luke Dukak?
I have not. You know, I will say I was a frequent visitor to Cheviot Hills back in the day.
Yes. Great old course. My grandfather had two holes in one there.
That's amazing. Them barking at you from the pro shop to pick up the pace.
We need more of that, frankly.
We need a lot more of that. I have not played Zebulon. I've not played Garner.
Gotta play these courses.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm kind of a west side of the triangle guy now, Hayes.
That's fair.
It's more out there. But I love those kinds of courses. And in fact, when I'm down at the beach, one of my favorite places to play is the lakes in Boiling Springs Lakes for $37 and, indifferently mowed and frequently empty in the afternoons. And you can go bang it around and lose a ball or two. But yeah, no, I love it. And I love the fact that someone who grew up on one of those courses is out there competing on a course like Sedgefield. It's obviously two different worlds, but it really does have that sort of tin cup feel to it.
Yeah, well, so that was the sort of intro to my question is, I believe I saw your column where the story, partly because the PGA Tour is front-loaded now with majors, part of the reason we still have to talk about the LIV Tour, obviously it's the first year and it's all going on right now, but like the PGA doesn't give us a whole lot to talk about on the back half of their schedule, right? So that's why we're talking about the LIV more. But you mentioned specifically how the Wyndham Championship is maybe less affected by the LIV Tour because it does feel kind of like a local event and one that the PGA Tour has kept in Greensboro. It's obviously got to make money to keep its spot on the tour, but it does seem to be nostalgia for an event that started in the 1930s. And the guys that they get, the Davis Loves and the Webb Simpsons that continue to come back, seem to give it kind of a local feel, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in an awkward position on the schedule. I think it's better this year without the, if the LIV Tour didn't exist, Wyndham would have been in a better position this year because they got rid of the World Match Play that used to happen right before. So there was kind of an awkward bit on the schedule with Detroit and Minneapolis and this World Match Play event and then, the Wyndham and then the FedEx Cup playoffs. So, I mean, the pitch from the Wyndham is, if you're going to play one of the three tournaments before the FedEx Cup, Detroit, Minneapolis are here. Why not come play here on this cool old Donald Ross course? The problem is the 1 week most guys want to take off before the playoffs start is the week before the playoffs. So what you get is a combination of guys who like playing here because it's home. And that's Webb, who's made more money than anyone else, including, Sam Snead, who won it umpteen times in the history of the event. I mean, Webb Simpson has legitimately made more money in Greensboro at Sedgefield than some players make in their entire careers. I mean, he's made $3.7 million in the Wyndham alone, which will put food on the table. And, the Chesson Hadleys, Davis Loves, Harold Varner, the guys who left for the LIV Tour, I think with the exception of Sergio Garcia and Patrick Reed, were not guys who played the Wyndham anyway. Kepka came here once or twice. DJ wasn't coming here. As I wrote, Phil Mickelson would rather fold pocket kings than come to Greensboro in August. So, those guys weren't coming anyway. Sergio, obviously past champion, kids come a couple times. Patrick Reed, past champion, would come occasionally. So those guys hurt a little bit, and certainly they were marketable. But the tournament's always going to be built around two groups. One is the Simpsons, Davis Love, Harold Varner, Chesson Hadley, guys like that, guys who grew up around here. JT Poston, past champion, Western Carolina. Guys like that who want to come and play here because it's fun and it's home. And they do a really good job. And what the guy tied for the lead right now, Joo-Young Kim, is a great example. He's playing on a sponsor's exemption. He's got special temporary membership, doesn't have full membership. He needs sponsor's exemptions to play. He can get as many as he wants, but he needs to get them. So they gave him a sponsor's exemption. And, in years past, they've given other guys like that sponsor's exemptions. Will Zalatoris has played twice on the sponsor's exemption. Once just out of Wake Forest, and then once last year when he was in the same position where he could get unlimited exemptions, but he didn't have a tour card. So guys like that who come up and play. Trent Phillips is another one who was a star at Georgia. He's making his first pro start on a sponsor's exemption. You know, Chris Goddard, who was the NCAA golfer of the year at Oklahoma State, he's playing on a sponsor's exemption. So they've done a really good job of finding guys like that. Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, they all played at the Wyndham before we knew who any of these guys were. Now, some of them come back and some of them don't, you know, like, Matsuyama's come back. Cameron Smith came back a couple times, probably won't now. Rahm and Morikawa never came back. But the goal is to get those guys in. You could sell them as young stars, which, you know, in the case of Ju Young Kim, he's out there tied for the lead, and then hope they come back in the future. Ju Young Kim's going to be a star on the PGA Tour. I mean, he's legit. People don't know who he is, but he's missed three cuts in 15 events. That's insane for a young kid getting his start. So, and Zalatoris played, Detroit the week before the Wyndham. Not many guys play Detroit and Greensboro, but Zalatoris did because he felt obligated. Cameron Young, another Wake Forest guy, did not. So, you know, there's maybe some hurt feelings there, but it's a delicate dance because guys don't necessarily want to play the week before the playoff starts unless they need, you know, points to get in. And you occasionally get some people like that.
Yep.
But it's usually still a pretty good field composed of either players that people around here care about or players that you don't know yet, but may care about someday.
Well, everyone in Zebulon will be around their TVs watching Blake McShay trying to finish. He's still in the top 10 now. We'll see where he finishes up the day.
What a story.
Luke Dukac for the News and Observer. You can check him out. Follow him at Luke Dukac on Twitter and check out his columns. North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year. Are you reigning? I forget.
It's been a couple years.
Multiple-time winner, though, and his columns are always award-winning. We appreciate the time, dude. We will talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Hayes.
We are halfway through the show. It's time to get some entertainment. It's halftime.
And now your halftime entertainment.
A lot of things to get to here. I'm going to jump on it fast.
I know. Luke and I like to kick it.
I know. Almost 7 minutes on the clock.
Hey, man, we were just catching up on North Carolina sports. A lot of things. We have the PGA Tour in town. I don't know if you knew, but football is back.
I heard.
Come on.
I heard.
A lot to talk about.
I heard.
Blake McShay's killing it straight out of Zebulon.
Yes, straight out of
Eastern
Zebulon.
Eastern Wake, stand up. All right, what's up, halftime?
Just get it rolling. All right, so are you an HBO Max subscriber? Do you have HBO Max, or do you have a password, I guess?
I think I am. No, I am a subscriber, yes.
Okay.
I am.
Well, HBO, or Warner Brothers and Discovery had their merger not too long ago.
I saw this.
Well, HBO Max and Discovery Plus are actually going to combine their services into one.
Why?
Starting into summer 2023. Well, they're the same company, so why not just give it all on one platform, Hayes?
Because HBO Max makes sense. It's like everything HBO is right there.
Yeah.
I don't need Discovery mixed in with it.
Why not?
Because you know what I mean? You know what it's going to mean? It's going to make me pay more.
Probably.
They're going to charge you $2 more. They'll be like, oh, but you get all the Discovery shows now.
Okay.
I don't need the Discovery
And for some
shows.
People, that works, Hayes.
Maybe not for
you and me, but for some people, it does.
If I curated my streaming services better, it really would be economical. Like,
sure.
If you were like, look, there's two shows on Netflix I want to watch. There's one show on Hulu and there's two over HBO. And you just say, for a month, I'm only renting Netflix and not these other ones. And then you just crush your show, then turn it off, and then turn on your other one. Like, that's the way to do it. And that is absolutely not the way that I do it.
No.
I waste money and pay them all the time.
Yep.
And watch, like, three shows spread out over, like, three of the six streaming platforms that I pay for.
Yeah.
But I never want to be caught with my pants down. I don't want to be like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, I don't have that service. So I'm the sucker that they love, and I'm paying the bills for cable right now.
Yeah, you and I both.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So Warner Brothers and Discovery also has teased a 10-year plan for DC Films. They confirmed as well that The Flash will be released along with Black Adam and Shazam 2. Now, the reason why The Flash... The fact that they announced The Flash is going to be released comes off the heels of two things. One, Ezra Miller, who plays The Flash, has had some legal troubles recently, so got a lot of bad PR, bad press, I guess you can say. Like, hey, here's this guy who's our lead for this show, is also having all these legal issues going on. So there's speculation that they might either delay or even just not release the film. Plus the fact that Warner Brothers Discovery decided to, during post-production, just scrap Batgirl all of a sudden out of nowhere, even though it already filmed everything. We're in the editing process, all the post-production. But no, we're going to spend $90 million on this film and not even release it.
Sorry, peace, Batgirl. I got to say, when I was first reading this, I had the font too small.
Yeah.
And I thought Ezra Miller played The Flash.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I've never heard of The Flesh, the superhero, but this could get excited. But maybe The Flesh had something to do with the legal troubles of which Ezra Miller is. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Also, you might be interested in this. The Joker 2, which is Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
Is going to release October 4, 2024. Lady Gaga officially now announced as playing Harley Quinn in the movie, and it's going to be a musical style. I know you love musicals.
I'm skeptical. I do like musicals.
You love musicals.
But I'm skeptical.
I think you're all in on it.
Like,
I think you're 100% in.
I don't know.
You're in on this, Hayes.
Like,
you want this.
I don't know if
you
I
like
do.
This.
I don't know if I'm ready for
this.
I'm not. I don't know if I'm ready for a crossover between Broadway and Warner Brothers or whatever. No, I don't want this. I don't want a Joker 2 musical. I don't want it.
You're getting it, Hayes.
I don't like it.
New Ninja Turtles movie is coming out next year. In 1 year, August 4th, 2023. And it has a title, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. Seth Rogen's producing the film, by the way.
Is Vanilla Ice doing the soundtrack?
I hope he is.
Is it going to be a musical Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I hope Vanilla so. Ice? Vanilla Ice, MC Hammer.
I was trying to think of Olivia Rodrigo can play April O'Neil.
Okay.
And then we can just have him sing, you know?
I'm for it.
And we'll, I don't like the musical superhero thing. It's going to work as well as the Spider-Man Broadway show did. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you.
There is that, I guess you can say. Do you know the original Ninja Turtles movie, the one that came out in 1990? Parts of that were filmed in North Carolina.
Yeah, Wilmington, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I think that was one of the movies that helped like really raise Wilmington's profile as a movie spot. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's been a good Ninja Turtles movie made.
You take that back.
There's not.
The original one, 1990, was a very good movie.
Not good.
Get out of here.
Like, Turtles is kind of a weird, because there's no way to, I don't know, they always look bad.
The original 1990 was good.
They look the best animated. You got to animate the turtles. Turtles just don't translate to
live action.
No, you can't do it.
No, the original one in 1990 was a very good movie.
No, it wasn't. I hate to tell this to you.
Next up in Halftime Entertainment, as we cut off Hayes Permar's mic once again, Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions partnering with the Pat McAfee Show to do a simulcast of six larger, high-profile college football games this fall on ESPN2. You trying to find that? You trying to turn your mic on, Hayes?
Yeah, I don't know what the buttons
do. Okay, well, I can go ahead
here.
And just pull your mic down, even though you're trying to talk right now. Yeah, exactly.
Let me in.
So anyway, so a second screen experience, much like the Manning cast did with Monday Night Football. They're going to be doing that this fall. Six games, Pat McAfee and the Pat McAfee Show crew are going to be doing college football games on ESPN2.
This was highly predictable, right?
Yeah.
Like, with the success of what they did on Monday Night Football, wasn't my favorite thing as far as, like, watching it while watching the game. I enjoyed watching the best moments that came out of those things, right?
Sure.
They clearly did a good job with it. Actually, shout out our good friend Brett Thompson. You know, Brett Live on Twitter.
Okay.
Hey, he works for ESPN. He's went to UNC.
All right.
And used to live in the area, and that was, like, one of the productions he worked on was the ESPN the Omaha productions, whatever. So like, yeah, I mean, you saw this coming, and it's almost like it's going to be the big SEC game. They probably won't do it. I mean, I'm sure they'll do Alabama or whatever, but like, this is just the extension of what watching a game with Twitter open was, right? You know, like when you get that clubhouse feel where everybody's making the same jokes. So like, oh my God, did you see that person in the stands that was crying? And then we're all like jumping on it. They do their interviews and stuff during. I feel like Monday Night Football, you can do that because you don't know. Monday Night Football is not necessarily a big game, right? But if you're doing an Alabama-Mississippi State or Alabama-Texas A&M game, you're not going to be able to just do an interview through big parts of the game. I mean, again, I get that people are watching the second screen. They know what they're getting. But, like, I feel like Monday Night Football is more of a – the game doesn't really matter. It's background noise anyway because it's just Monday night, right? It's just a regular season game. Whereas college football, especially a big-time SEC matchup, likes to try and have the feel of, well, the loser of this game is going to be out of the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's just going to be harder to do the interviews during it or whatever. But, like I said, least predictable thing. It was very successful for Monday Night Football, so you knew you were going to see more extensions of it.
I'm looking forward to it. Those guys are fun, and they love football, and they're really good at what they do.
Eli's overrated.
I'm talking about Pat McAfee and those guys.
Pat McAfee's very funny.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Eli's not overrated. He's just not as funny as people make him out to be. Like, oh, that was a funny line. It was like he gave a stare, or he said like, thanks for the two Super Bowls, or like, you know, it's like, okay, that wasn't that funny. Okay.
That's all I have. That's all the time I have for.
Oh, my bad. Did I not leave you enough time to talk some more comic book stuff?
On the other side, Hayes Permar and I are going to play some bets next on the Adam Gold Show.
Dennis Cox is producing, and he is ready to brag. My man hit one last night, and then Mookie Becks hit one. I'm going to let him tell you about it. And in fact, I'm not placing bets. I'm on a losing streak. And then I'm not going to be here Monday to have to own my own bets, so I'm not doing it. I've got something that I'm going to do instead. But I'm going to let you know, the Jags did lose last night, and Harold Varner III and Webb Simpson aren't going to win. So I'm looking already at an 0-3 yesterday. So I might abstain from placing. I'll give you something to possibly bet on, but let's go ahead and place your bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can own me. I owe you one.
All right. So you picked a home run hitter last night? I promise you, I almost... went with Ohtani just because I know you like to take Ohtani home runs. And then he hit two last night, which wouldn't have paid out any extra.
Took a loss.
Yeah, seven home runs, not enough for the Angels. You hit it on a Mookie Betts homer last night.
I did.
How much did that pay for you?
Plus 400.
400 units?
Yep.
Dennis Cox is going to be in the positive here soon. What are you laying down today?
I'm going to go, since we had a listener tweet at us yesterday, hey, taking the Amtrak.
People requesting
a bet. Hey, I'm going to Baltimore for 30 years of Camden Yards. They're playing the Pirates.
That's our man Jesse at How's the Hot Dog. Yep.
Yeah.
And he wanted a Pirates Orioles bet.
Pirates Orioles. Take the Orioles minus one and a half runs plus 130. So give him 1.5 plus 130. Take the O's.
Jesse also hit us up when we talked about the best sandwich shop in North Carolina.
Yeah.
He had been there. He had done a hot dog review of that place. Follow him on Instagram at House Hot
Very
Dog.
Highly recommended it.
All right.
Out in Bryson City.
So I'm not going to place a wager, but I wanted to give people the update. At BetMGM, they have their latest futures odds to win the college football national championship.
Okay.
Now, obviously, this list isn't exactly like 1 through 25. Like, the top 25 Vegas odds to win would not necessarily be your top 25 rankings or whatever. But I do feel like, where would you expect, with all the hype coming into the season, being picked possibly to win their division? I can't remember. Did State was State the preseason pick, or was Clemson the preseason pick?
Clemson was the preseason pick for the Atlantic.
Anyway, a lot of people like State. Where would you think they would be in odds to win the national championship?
State?
Yeah.
Plus 13,000.
No. Like in terms of how many schools above
them? Oh, how many schools
them?
Have? I would probably put them at like, I'll say 17.
See, I would have thought so too. Maybe even as high as like 12 or something.
Sure.
But they're down like, now there are a lot of people tied with the same thing, but they're in like the 30 range. And in fact, Wake Forest, latest odds, way better to win the national championship. So obviously, the number one team with the best chance to win the national championship, Alabama, plus 190. Then Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. So that seems to make sense. There's your top four. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. Top four in terms of betting odds. Your next four, Texas A&M, USC, Oklahoma, Notre Dame. Your next four, Texas, Michigan, Utah, Florida. So we're at the 12 now. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Well, Wake Forest is really tied for 17th.
Okay.
They come in about where you thought NC State would be. They're tied with Oklahoma State, Arkansas, Baylor, Penn State, and Wisconsin, all at plus 8,000. Then you got Arizona State, Mississippi, Tennessee, UCLA, Washington, Michigan State, Nebraska, Auburn, Cincinnati, Florida State, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and NC State. So that's the thing that's interesting to me. NC State there at plus 15,000. North Carolina about five or six below them at plus 20,000. So NC State picked to finish second in the Atlantic Division. Many people had them first to win the Atlantic Division. But right now in the Bet MGM odds, they're fourth in the division. Clemson, Wake, Florida State, and State all better odds to win the national championship. I know that's not the same thing as ranking the division. I just found it interesting. Look, if you still like NC State, great value bet. Put it down. Okay. Sorry, I talked through the segment.
Yeah, you completely talked through the segments. I have 10 seconds to give me my last two bets here. Crystal Palace, Arsenal, exactly eight corners, plus 600. Vincent LeCue, submission versus Jeff O'Neill in the UFC this weekend, plus 400.
Glad we didn't waste any more time on that.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Find your perfect fall suit with Indochino. Customize every detail of their seasonal designs for a one-of-a-kind look at a great price. And get $50 off purchases of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.